around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you today. It's a great joy for us to be able to be with you and to share from the Scriptures the Holy Writ. We're living in some exciting days, some exciting times. I thank God for the blessedness of His Word in our lives. As Christians, wouldn't it be sad if we had no Bible whatsoever? If we didn't have any Scriptures, any enlightenment to who God is and what His Word says and does for us? We sometimes take for granted that in Christianity, we have God's Word, voluminous amounts of truth that comes from God Himself. And we know that God's Word does not change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. Think about that. It's like a biography about God Himself, yet He also shows us how He interacts in the lives of mankind. And the lives of so many people, male, female, nations, governments. It's amazing the intricacy of God and how He deals with mankind. And we're able to read all of those things, able to study those things, and even search out the deeper things of God. Well, today's Tuesday, September the 10th. We welcome you today, and I just pray that the program will be a blessing to you, and you're going to be strengthened. As you well know, we just finished the series on the depravity of man, and now, since we've laid out how depraved, how debased, how debauched mankind is, we want to look at salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord, David said in Psalms chapter 3. Verse 8. That's where we left off yesterday. Salvation belongs to God. That is so key. That is so significant, because what that is telling us, there's nothing that you can do on your part to have a part of this salvation. All you can do is receive it. There's nothing that you can do to participate in salvation. Why? Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then He gives that gift to everyone who believes on what He did at the cross. Before we get into the message today, I want to play a very upbeat song today by the Martins, simply entitled Running. Galatians 5, 7 and 8, Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him who calleth you." In other words, you are really running the race of life, but something is hindering you. Something has encroached your life. Something is impeding your life. Aren't you glad Christ will remove all hindrances, all roadblocks, that we might run the race and finish the course with joy? Amen.
God will surely
Yes, my friend, we all need to run and run the race. We, as we said a few minutes ago, just concluded the series on the depravity of man. Yesterday, we began talking about salvation and what salvation means and how it means to be delivered by Jehovah or Christ our Savior, and that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. That was exactly what the Pharisees said to the Apostle Peter after they had raised the lame man in Acts chapter 3. They knew the power of Christ. Now, how do we know that? Acts 4 and 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" What power, what name have you done this? That shows you they recognized the power of God and the name of God. The power was the Holy Spirit. The name was none other than Jesus Christ. The two work inseparably to bring men to salvation. They bring men to salvation. The Holy Spirit convinces men they're lost. They're dying without God. They need a mediator. They need an intercessor. That's what the Holy Ghost reveals to men, convicting them of their sins, convicting them of their waywardness, and then Jesus comes into their lives and fills the void. We concluded yesterday in Psalms 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, when Christ comes into your heart, you are immediately illuminated by the light of Christ in your life. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." When you walk with Christ, His Spirit, His presence, His Word illuminates your personage. Now, we know the Bible says in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's been said that light is the greatest disinfectant of all. It disinfects any and everything. John said in John 1:5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Where does the darkness go when you turn on the light? You can walk into the darkest room in your house. It's there. You sense it. You see the darkness. But then you turn on the light, and the darkness suddenly disappears. Now, when Jesus, in this great explanation here in John chapter 3, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, or his deeds should be discovered, or his deeds should be made manifest. You remember well over a year and a half ago, going on 2 years, I did a video and how that God gives Donald Trump the dark treasures and the hidden secrets. And we've watched how corruption has been brought to light with our alphabet agencies. That's what Isaiah 45 says that God would do for King Cyrus. Now, I remember Isaiah 45, Donald Trump's the 45th president. People declared he was a type of Cyrus. He moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the American embassy, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But most people stopped there in verse 1. But I felt constrained by the Spirit of God to go further and search deeply into those other verses. And then it made all the sense in the world. And then on the 14th or 17th day of my fast, 2 years ago this January, that garbage truck, time disposal, how that truck was cut into, and all of the garbage was strewn all over the place. And in a moment's time, God downloaded a revelation to me. He said, that garbage truck is called Time Disposal. Who's ever heard of a garbage company named Time Disposal? But God said, in time, I will dispose and expose, both expose and dispose, of all of these dark treasures, secret riches that men thought they have hidden and nobody knows anything about it. What does that light? People say, it finally came to light. It finally came to light. Is that not what the Bible says here in John 3 and 21? Or excuse me, 3 and 20? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You see, if you hunger and you desire truth, God will bring you into that light and let you see what needs to be seen. The word reproved there in the Greek means to be brought home to yourself. To be brought home to yourself. And to convince you of your sins by convicting, or by the convicting power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Truth is made manifest because of the light. Now our deeds have become godly because of truth and the light that's now living and abiding and abiding in our hearts. Our righteous deeds are now made manifest to the world. To be wrought in God means to continue in His Spirit and in His strength. We either continue in sin, or we continue in righteousness. And the question is simple. Which will it be? Will you continue in sin, or will you continue in righteousness? Which way will you go? What will you say? What will you do? How will you live? I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that think they're Christians, but they live like hell. They cheat, they lie, they steal, they malign, they castigate, they encroach, they impinge, They do things that they know is not right, it is evil, it is wrong, but they still do it anyway. Jesus said, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light." In other words, if you really want to know the truth, you will come to the truth. The Spirit of God will bring you to the utmost truth. See, we live in a day when people had rather embrace a lie. Look at nearly 3 years of this fabricated garbage of a Russian hoax. And the Mueller report was going to be the nail that would drive the coffin lid shut, and destruction and death would permeate the Trump administration. It was a bust. It takes time. It takes time because there is such corruptness. I was in prayer the other day. And I was just merely pouring out my heart to God. And I was talking to God about how vile, how wicked, how salacious the world has become. And I said, God, it's like walking into a spider web in the darkness of night. You've got these webs on your head. You've got webs on your arms. You've got webs on your face. And you're trying to get this stuff off of you. That's how I was telling God, how I perceive, how I see the world. But then the Lord put something in my heart as I was pouring out my heart to Him about the spider webs, the cobwebs of this world. He said, but the fire of Pentecost, the fire of my word, it burns, it consumes the cobwebs and the spider webs. You take a torch and you walk into where those spider webs are, it consumes them. They're gone. A torch is a type of light. The fire of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is a type of light. And it burns those spider webs, it burns those cobwebs, and they don't get on you. There's nothing more eerie, icky feeling than to have spider webs on you. The Spirit of God prompted my heart. Fire will consume every bit of that. It is the fire of God. Hebrews 10:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a hammer, saith the Lord, that breaketh the rock into pieces? Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? You keep hammering the sin. You keep hammering the rot, the ruin, the decay. It may have a stone wall around it. These people are, quote unquote, stonewalling. Stonewalling. There's a wall of stone around it. But God said, it's not my word, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. God says, you keep hammering that with my word, it'll finally break. It'll break. It'll break. How do you get the gold out of the rock? You crush it with a hammer, you beat it, pulverize it, and then you set it on fire and you heat it up to over 2,000 degrees. And this is where the gold comes out of the stones, the rocks. It's not my word, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. Yet we witness stonewalling. And so many avenues, so many venues, we witness this stonewalling. But God says, that's all right. My word will break it down. Friend, just like the walls of Jericho, praise God, the walls of Jericho seem to be absolutely impervious, impregnable. No way, no way for Israel to get in there, to get through there. And the great thing is, they didn't do one thing but worship God and march around the walls. And God brought those vast, enormous walls down to the ground. God did that. The older I get, the more I witness, the more I see that God is attached and a part of everything. There's nothing that God is not a part of. It's amazing how there are 7 billion people in the earth. And if 7 billion people started praying at the same time, God is able to delineate my voice from your voice and the other person's voice and that person's voice. And it's though God has, we have his undivided attention. God hears every word. He even hears the breath that you take between the words. And he does that for every living Christian. He'll do it for the sinner if it's a prayer of repentance. If it is a prayer of repentance. The only prayer that God hears from sinners are prayers of repentance. I hear people say all the time that are not even Christians. They're backsliders. They've never been saved. Oh, I pray. Even the Pharisees in John 9:31 said, we know that God heareth not sinners. They understood that. Why? Because no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You can't pray to God today and serve the devil in the same day. It just doesn't work. That's what we're trying to do in modern Christianity. But my friend, it is erroneous. It is evil. It has not worked. It never will work. You have to lay down your life. You have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross and follow Jesus every day. Again, in Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When David declared that Jehovah was his strength, he meant he possessed God's protection. You see, salvation brings divine protection into your life. Into your life. The very presence of God in your life constitutes divine protection. Protection. The very presence of God Almighty assures the believer, the child of God, of divine protection. I love this verse in Psalms 144 and verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. But he prefaces that by saying, the Lord is my strength. Psalm 68:35, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength unto his people. Strength. God has the power to give us strength. Now, the word strength here in the Hebrew means to be a rock or to be a fortress. Psalms 29, verse 11. The Lord will give his people strength and peace. God gives us both strength and peace. Strength and peace. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and he will bless his people with peace. See, God gives us strength. He gives you strength every day to work. He gives you strength to perform your duties, your home. Ladies, he gives you the strength to cook, to nurture the home, to take care of the home. As the husband works to supply an income for food, sustenance, a covering, a roof over your head. Some ladies work outside of the home But we need to recognize it is God that gives us the strength. And that strength, as I said, it's more than just a physical strength. It is a rock. It is a fortress. Now, when David said, God is my strength, he was saying, God, you're my protection. You're my protection. We see throughout David's life, his entire life. Now watch this. The lion, the bear, Goliath, and all of the military skirmishes that David encountered. We have no record of David ever being injured or harmed or smitten or stricken in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, he could have been, but we don't have any indication in the scriptures where David was ever physically harmed. You see, because he said, God is my protection, he didn't mind encountering a bear. He didn't mind encountering a lion. He did not mind encountering a giant, and some theologians believe the giant was about 13 to 14 feet tall and weighed somewhere between 900 and 1,200 pounds. And here's a little 14-year-old ruddy complexion kid that walks out there and says, hey, you're going to defy the God of Israel? And, well, that was just a provocation to Goliath. He said, am I a dog? You send this punk kid out here to me? David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I don't come in myself. I come in the power. I am an ambassador of Elohim, Jehovah Nissi. I come in his name, his power, and his strength, and I'm going to conquer you, my friend. I will destroy you. And he hurled that stone. And the only place that Goliath was vulnerable was right between his eyes. And that's exactly where the stone hit. And knocked Goliath down and knocked Goliath out. And before he was able to awaken, David went over to where he was, pulled his sword from his sheath, and he beheaded that giant and carried that head back with him to Jerusalem. David said, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my rock. The very God of protection abides with me. Now think about what I'm saying. We have no record that when he encountered the lion, that he got ripped, shredded, or torn in any capacity. And by the way, those teeth, the nails on the paws of a lion and the nails in the teeth of a bear. We have no record that David ever got harmed or injured in any way. So when David says, the Lord is my strength, he's decreeing God is my protection. How many times has God protected you and I? I cannot number the times. I cannot tell you the times. I know that God has spared me, that God has divinely intervened. God has stepped in between me and a critical situation, knowingly sometimes and unknowingly. God divinely intervened. You remember when Ziklag was burned? And all the people rose up against David. And David's two wives were taken captive, just like the other men and their wives. And yet they wanted to stone the man of God, David. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that word encouraged in the Hebrew means David attached himself to God. God, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to take a hold of the hem of your garment. God, I know this place looks terrible. Everything's burned and razed to the ground. Smoldering smoke, rot, destruction, chaos. And now the people even want to stone me. They want to kill me. And I've suffered the same measure of loss, and they want to kill me. And what does the Bible say? David encouraged himself in the Lord, simply meaning David attached himself to God. Why? God was his rock. God was his fortress. Some of you listening to this program today, the Spirit of grace is saying to you right now, you need to attach yourself to God. You need to take hold of the hem of his garment. The woman that had the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. I preached a sermon years ago. Touching Jesus is all that matters. That's all that matters in this life. That's all that matters. Because David possessed Jehovah's divine protection. Now listen to me. He then asked the question, whom or what shall I fear or what shall I be afraid of? Now let me ask you a question today. Who are you afraid of and what are you afraid of? Who and what? Whom shall I fear or what shall I be afraid of? Who or what? Some of you today, I can see right now your mind. The subject, the object that you have fear about is what's on your mind right now. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That circumstance, that situation, you're trusting God for something. And the devil's trying to bring fear and doubt and confusion and say, that's never going to happen. He's trying to seize control of your mind. He's trying to seize control of your thoughts. He's not only trying to seize your mind and control it, he's trying to compound it with fear, with anxiety, with trepidation, with hurt, with harm. He's trying to dig up the past. He's trying to bring something to vex you with. He's trying to bring something to torment you with. He may try to bring something out of your past into your present and say, hey, this is going to be your demise. No, it's not. No, it's not. If God is your refuge, no, it's not. The equivalency of Psalms 27 verse 1 would be Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? What can be against us? You say, you don't see what I'm facing, Pastor. You don't know who I'm facing. You don't see the circumstance I'm facing. I don't have to see. I don't have to know. I know this. God is your refuge. Psalms 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in the time of trouble. The Lord is the light. And the Lord is the salvation of my life. Whom shall I fear? Or what shall I fear? Don't think the devil doesn't talk to the people of God. I never fail to be amazed at how quickly, how easily we seem to hear everything the devil says. But we don't seem to hear anything that God says. The devil says, you're going to fail. Somehow you hear that, and somehow you believe that. The devil says, you're not going to succeed. Somehow we hear that. Somehow we believe that. The devil says, your business is going to take a turn for the worse. How is it we can hear that? And we can believe that. We've got to believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, the devil is a master at creating a circumstance, a situation to bring fear, anxiety, and trepidation into your life. I've said this so many times, and I want to reiterate it today. If Satan cannot get to you, he will seek to get someone close to you and thereby hinder your walk in the Lord. What's Satan's objective? Tear us down, destroy us, steal, kill, murder, maim. This is the personage of Satan. But David, he took hold of Christ. The Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Or what shall I be afraid of? I love Psalm 68:19, which says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I love that verse. Why? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. David says, blessed be the Lord who undergirded me to take down the bear and the lion and Goliath. And not only that, the Lord is my redeemer. The Lord is my protection. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my Savior. He plunged me beneath the blood, cleansed me, and made me whole. David understood. He daily loads me with benefits. I'm guilty. I'll be the first to admit it. I try every day to never allow unthankfulness to be a part of my life. That's why if you support this ministry, if you send a $2 gift to this ministry, you get a thank you letter and a little note. Why? I don't want to ever be unthankful. Those of you who support this ministry, you know how factual that is. You get a little note from me, and I just put a scripture on there and a Bible verse or two. But I want to be thankful. Thankful. You see, that's why we have such conviction here at the ministry about never asking for money. We believe if we feed you, excuse me, we believe if we feed you, we nurture you, we nourish you with the scriptures, God will touch your heart and say, you need to help that man. You're receiving strength from that man. You're receiving encouragement from that man. You're receiving help from that man. You're receiving the word of God from that man. And you'll have the unction to say, you know what? I need to sow a seed. But as far as me getting on here every week and asking you to send tithes and offerings, we're not going to do that. Because that negates what I preach when I say God is my refuge, God is my strength, God is my protection, God is my source. God is everything. You know, I look back, and of course we can do that because we have the entire Bible from creation to the entrance into eternity. In Revelation 21, verse 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The Bible takes us from the creation of man all the way to the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. You'll see that in Isaiah chapters 65 and 66. We see that thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. Then we witness the great white throne judgment. Then we see a new heaven and a new earth, and wherein there is no more sea. There won't be a sea. There won't be a sea anymore. And there was no more sea. We have this vast expanse of time. And then in Revelation 21, we enter into eternity. Eternity. How long is eternity? Time and perpetuity. Time without end. You see, I can't imagine that. That makes two of us. I have a beginning. I have an ending. I was birthed on a certain day. I will die on a certain day if the Lord tarries. I have my beginning. I have my ending. God has no beginning. God has no ending. And he's everything in between. David understood who God was. We ought to bless the Lord ourselves. Again, I don't want to ever be unthankful. We should magnify the name of the Lord because he has redeemed us from sin. He has redeemed us from chains and shackles and fetters. He's taken us out of bondage and set us free. Do you thank God for that? We've all had those days. I have those days. I have more days of that than I'd like to have, and those are days when everything goes wrong. Everything just goes wrong. This don't work, that don't work. This breaks, that breaks. I come in here to the studio sometimes, and it's an aggravation. It's just an aggravation. Even though we get aggravated, we get irritated, we get frustrated, we should be thankful for God's blessings. Psalms 34, verse 1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, out of your mouth can come words that magnify the Lord. The more you magnify the Lord, the more you're edified. Edification, edification, edify. The word edify means to build you up. Well, how do I build myself up? By magnifying the Lord, by praising God, by thanking God. Psalms 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You were in the clutches and hands of Satan. Let God redeem you. Let God bring you out of that mess. Some of us, our lives were nothing but a wreck. Just a heap of ruination. A heap of devastation. A heap of garbage. A heap of trash. That's all some of us were. But then look what God does. And God makes us beautiful. He said, I will beautify the meek with what? With salvation. People are not beautiful in themselves because people are corrupt. I said, people are not beautiful in themselves because they are corrupt. People are beautiful because God has given them the gift of salvation. Some of the most ugly, heinous people in the world are people who claim to be Christians and then fail to bear the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. God, when he touches our lives, he takes that demented, decrepit, twisted, misaligned, disfigured, deformed life. And he transforms it into something beautiful. Something that's literally glorious. Not in ourselves, but in him that lives in us. I've been in places, public places, and I've seen people. You've seen people. You could just tell by their mere countenance they had the goods. They had it. They were Christians. You could see it emanating from them. We don't see that today. Psalms chapter 85, verse 9, the psalmist says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. That's powerful. Again, whose salvation is it? It is his. His. That's why I say it practically every day, because some people still don't believe me. They don't believe the scripture. They somehow are determined to believe they have something to do. They have a part in their salvation. You need to get this in your spirit adamantly. Salvation is God's. And there's nothing you can do to obtain it, to acquire it, or to get it. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalms 3 and 8. Psalms 85 and 9 says, surely his salvation or deliverance is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. You know why there's no glory in the land of America? Because we don't have his salvation, and we don't have any fear. That Bible verse there in Psalms 85 and verse 9 tells us emphatically, number one, deliverance can only be found in those that fear him. If there was more fear in the land, we would witness, without a doubt, we would witness a greater glory and a greater manifestation of his goodness throughout the land of America. I know Donald Trump got beat up when he took God's name in vain. I got beat up because I made the video, The Danger of Trump's Pride. The really God-fearing people, their comments were, thank you, Pastor, thank you. I too have fear and trepidation and anxiety that Donald Trump should not be using and taking God's name in vain. I got criticized that I was proud because I addressed his profanity. That doesn't bother me. But the day following the massacre of 29 people, and when he made that speech on Monday morning, national television at 10 o'clock, he invoked God's name time and time and time and time again. Why? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalms 108:12. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Vain is the word vain always means worthless. Man's help from another man, for the most part, is worthless. But when God gives a nation, when God gives a country, when God gives his people help, it changes everything. If there was more fear of God in America, there would be more glory, more blessings in the land. Look at our corn crop this past year. Folks, we're in trouble. We're going down the wrong path. Salvation is so important to every one of us. Without salvation, all men are eternally lost. Just lost. Hopeless, helpless, lost. You've ever been in the state of a quandary? The word is perplexed. The word perplexed means You have two choices. Neither choice is any good. That's a perplexing situation. That's what it means to be perplexed. You say, if I do this, it's bad. If I do that, it's bad. The Bible says in Luke 21:25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. With perplexity. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Everything is going to be shaken. If Christ is not in you, you too, my friend, will be terribly shaken. Many are going to fall by the wayside here in the time of the end because their heart is not fixed on the things of God. I said their heart is not fixed on the things of God. Your heart must be fixed. So many people's hearts, though, are not fixed. And because their hearts are not fixed, they're going to be shaken. Hebrews 12:26. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. If you have Christ in your life, you will not be shaken so that you too might remain. There's a storm coming. I was disappointed in a preacher I heard over the weekend. Great man of God. Great man of God. I have the utmost confidence in this man. In all of these years, I thought he was a post-tribulationist. But he said before it all gets really bad, we're going to be out of here. And the thought occurred to me in Matthew chapter 7. How many storms are coming? One. Jesus says, the man that built on the sand, he lost everything. The man that built on the rock, when the storm and the tempest and the briny waves and the tempestuous air and winds finally abated, that man that built on the rock stood. Who is the rock? The rock is Jesus. Upon this rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It all sinks. It all falls. It all withers and passes away. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This scripture has been on my mind for several days now. Psalms 4:3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. You make yourself godly. You make yourself a vessel of honor. God will set you apart for himself. You have to present your body, Romans 12, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God says, I'm setting you apart for me. And when God does that, you're like the psalmist David. You can kill the bear. You can kill the lion. You can face the giant. How do you do all of that? God is with you. Salvation is with you. His presence is with you. He told Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so shall I also be with you. Think about that. Joshua, I'm paraphrasing here. Joshua, you see all the great, mighty, magnanimous things I did for Moses? Yes, Lord. Joshua, I will do no less for you. I will do no less for you. Be strong. Be of good courage. Hide my word in your heart. Don't let my words depart out of your mouth. And I assure you, Joshua, you will have good success. Hey, God wants us to be successful. I believe in success. God doesn't get any glory in failure. God gets glory when we are successful. And God's presence assures our success. God bless you. Have a great week. That's left of it. Keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for our president. He needs to be covered in prayers from the saints of God. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.